Welcome to the Raw Food Health Empowerment Podcast, where we delve into the powerful benefits of a holistic, high-raw vegan lifestyle for achieving optimal health, brain function, and overall well-being. And this quarter, we are focusing on the mindset of a successful high-raw vegan. I'm your host, Samantha Salmon, certified integrative nutrition coach and brain health licensed trainer. And today we are diving into adaptability, being willing to adapt and find raw food alternatives to your favorite cooked meals. So I'm going to share some behind the scenes of like what I do, especially, you know, there's been a lot of talk about culturally relevant, you know, services and things like this, how, you know, we need to be culturally relevant. And that resonates with me. That resonates with me a lot. I totally understand the need for it. And I've had a lot of fun exploring different cuisines with my clients, like the Thanksgiving menu I put together with Polish raw vegan cuisine, African, Nigerian specifically, but some African inspired and some specifically Nigerian inspired cuisine, Jamaican inspired cuisine, and actually making jerk seasoning from scratch and putting that into different dishes. Like, it's been super fun getting into Puerto Rican dishes and Dominican dishes and Mexican dishes. And it's been just a lot of fun, lots of joy. And what I learned too in the journey, and not just in this journey, but even before, like when we had Earth Healing Cafe, my husband made this awesome recipe, kielbasa, which I'll share the link to the recipe. It's on my website. But we had it in the store, and you know, we loved Ethiopian food, so we decided to add, or he decided to add, berbere seasoning to it, and berbere is specific to Ethiopian cuisine. And it was just so cool, like where you can infuse this idea of like a Polish sausage, but Ethiopian style, you know, and raw vegan, you know, there's just so many like fun things you can do. You just need to understand the basics, right? So if you have like a craving, like my client had a craving for mac and cheese. So I said, okay, how can we do this raw vegan? Because like my thing is like, if you have a craving for something, feed that craving, feed it, because your body clearly wants something. Even if it's psychological, you know, just feed it, you know, but we're going to do it healthy so we don't feel like trash, because that's the whole point of the whole thing, right? So I'm like, okay, how are we going to do mac and cheese? And that's where I came up with my recipe with using heart of palm noodles, which I hadn't even heard of before, but I was just looking for heart of palm. And then I saw on Thrive Market that, oh, look at this. They have it in noodles. And then I went to YouTube and I see all these people doing all this fun stuff with heart of palm noodles. I'm like, oh my goodness, I've been out of the loop. So I made a mac and cheese, a raw vegan mac and cheese dish with heart of palm, utilizing nutritional yeast. I mean, it smelled and tasted like cooked vegan mac and cheese, but it was raw. Right? And I could have even dehydrated it to make it warm, but I ate it like right away after I made it. And it was room temperature, and with my little ninja blender that I used, the motor's on top. So I was really surprised that it got warm inside. It got a little warm just with all of the blending and stuff. But it was perfect. I mean, it was room temperature. It wasn't hot, you know, but it was perfect. Now, if I added some cayenne pepper, or yeah, the jerk seasoning, maybe it would add a little bit more warmth. Maybe if I added some ginger or something like this, but you know, it would add warmth to the dish without actually heating it. But I could have even put it, because the Ninja Foodie 9-in-1 has a dehydrator function on it, and there's a bowl, so you can just put it in it, dehydrate it. You have to set it for a long time, obviously, but it will have a little bit of warmth to it, because I've dehydrated broccoli in there before. That was just, it was so good. So good. So, you know, understanding how to adapt to find the raw food alternatives to your favorite cooked meals can be done, but the only way to get there is you have to know what's possible. The reason why I knew I could make this is because I know what's possible in the raw food world. You know, someone tells me I want a cake for a birthday. I'm like, you'll probably like a raw vegan cheesecake because everybody seems to like raw vegan cheesecake. That's not my personal favorite, but everyone seems to love this, which I know from the store, you know, from having the store. And folks are like, oh my gosh, what's a raw cheesecake? I personally have never had an actual legitimate cheesecake, but the raw vegan cheesecake is a hit. It's a hit. People like it. People really enjoy it. My personal favorite is the raw vegan apple pie we used to make. It's so, so good. But yeah, you have to know what's possible. And the only way you can know what's possible, at least from my experience, is actually going to raw food restaurants, which there are not many now thanks to the pandemic. So many have been shut down, have closed down, or maybe the financial model didn't work. Because Cafe Gratitude was like the first raw food restaurant I ever ate at. All of their establishments, they were only in California at the time. I don't know if they've now expanded. I'm not sure. But they were just raw. Like, the whole menu was raw. But now they offer cooked food. It's cooked vegan food, but still. Which I was like, wow, that's interesting. Especially for a California-based a restaurant, that they would make this change. You know, you have like the most optimal weather, but still you made the change. Interesting. So that almost tells me that maybe the market is not ready for 100% raw restaurant for sustainability, unless it's something like a charity or something like that. I don't know, which is why I really encourage folks to make this stuff at home. Not only is it cleaner because you're controlling what you put in, so the things that don't work for you in particular, you can make sure you eliminate it, you omit it, but also you are taking care of the hygiene, right? So you don't have to worry about anybody else doing something you don't like. You know, I know some folks who are really careful and conscious about this because you're making it at home. So if you're not going to the restaurant to see what is feasible, then the only other way is to actually get recipe books and make the recipes. Because with recipe books, you may see what the thing looks like. You have all the instructions, but you don't know what it tastes like. You don't know what the texture is like. In which case, you actually have to get in there and make the stuff. And we had some great speakers on the Thrive Through Food Summit. Chefs, folks who make stuff, have video courses on how to make stuff. Also, too, on the Raw Food Health Empowerment Summit too, we had chefs with recipe books and things of that nature. So the resources are there. So anytime you have a craving, normally what I do, I have a section on my computer. I have books, recipe books on Kindle. I also have recipe books on my computer in my folder, like on my digital files. I have them organized. I have a folder that says books and a folder for, because every year there's like a raw food bundle of recipes and things like that. And so I have a folder designated for that. And even the recipe books I download from some of our speakers and things like that, purchased and things from their Instagram links and stuff like that. They make great raw recipes. Oh, I want to try that. Okay, download. And I keep everything organized in my folder on my computer. So if I want something, I have, like, let's say I have some kale I need to use up, or I have some seeds I want to use, or some celery. Okay, what can I do with this celery seeds? I just go into my finder window, my folder, and search, what's this thing? Pull up all these recipes, and I can make it exact. At this stage of the game, I like to play around and switch things up and use it as inspiration, but take it to either a different place based off of the ingredients that I have, or some different flavors and spices I want to use and try. But, you know, you can definitely, in the beginning, you want to make it as is so you can get a feel for what things taste like, what they should taste like, what the consistency should be like, so you're not disappointed, right? If you do a lot of experimentation in the beginning, you may find yourself disappointed because it may not operate the same way as the cooked foods that you're used to. If you're used to cooking things a certain way or doing things a certain way. Because I remember, even like with cooked whole food, I remember at one point talking to a client about not cooking, not sautéing with oil. And I think we talked about this over 3 sessions. She just could not figure out how to do the thing. And in my head, I'm like, but if you would just put it in the pot and try it, you know, just try it. I know when you keep telling yourself something can't be done, I think it stops folks from even trying the thing because you just feel like it just can't be done. How do you saute without oil, you know? But you just put it in there. You just put some water, little bit of water, and you just move the thing back and forth. And you may have to stand over it and just keep moving it. But it's feasible. You can do it, you know. But you'll never really know. You'll never have 100% confidence in yourself that this thing will work. Even when you hire people to tell you what will work and what won't work. Until you actually do it yourself, because it's that personal firsthand experience that really convinces you. You know, if I hadn't had firsthand experience of delicious raw foods, then I would probably be skeptical too. Like, raw food, you're not gonna cook it? You know, I was skeptical about not eating meat before I went vegan. You know, I used to say to my cousin, if it doesn't have chicken, it's not a meal. I used to say that all the time, and I would make fun of him, even though he was doing what he had to do for his own physical health and comfort, you know, which was not eating meat. But I just kept going in, if it don't have chicken, it's not a meal, you know. I couldn't, and I had never tried it. I didn't want to try it. I didn't have a reason at the time. It wasn't until I watched my grandma suffer and die, right, with all the work we put into keeping her alive, keeping her well, keeping her comfortable. She got so much care. She got quality care. So many people, me, my mom, home health aide, my nanny, all of these people working to support her health, and still it wasn't enough. Still her toe turned black. Still she went to the doctor for support and they said, there's nothing more we can do. Hospice care. You know, after all of that work, all of that effort, you know? So we need to focus on the clean eating. Do what's necessary to get to the goal and stay consistent with it and be willing to adapt, right? Get that firsthand experience to find the alternatives to what we're looking for and be willing to try it. Make a commitment. I recently was watching an old video that Tabitha Brown did when she decided to do, like, I think it was during the pandemic, she decided to do raw for 7 days and she was craving a sandwich. And so she said God told her to go to the store. I don't know if she went to Lassen's, because what she got, because I lived in LA. What she got, I feel like you would only be able to get that at Lassen's or Air One, which are specialty health food stores that are quite pricey, right? And she got these coconut wraps, and they're dehydrated coconut wraps, and she wanted a sandwich. So she, instead of using them the way that most people would use them, she decided to use them like bread, which I thought was really smart and ingenious. You know, I would have never thought to do that because they're so big. But she made a sandwich the way she would love to have a sandwich normally, but just using all raw foods, made it delicious, what she felt would make sense with the guacamole, and she didn't have pickles, so she had reused her pickle juice and put peppers in it. She added the peppers. She got cucumbers since she didn't have the pickles, you know. And she put all the fixings in it that she liked, sprouts, whatnot. And then she cut it like she would cut a sandwich and made these squares. And it was feeding the craving at the time. Because, like, what do you do when you want a sandwich but you're raw, you committed? what you do, you stick with it and you come up with a compromise. You get the sandwich and you make it raw, right? You're compromising with yourself in order to reach your goals. And I continue to do this even to this day, anything that I'm looking to achieve. So like right now in my life, I guess a big goal is just to create more impact, right? To create more impact, to do more. I'm really happy with what the Thrive Through Food Summit did in terms of planting a seed for folks. I got a lot of great feedback and the message went out. And the feedback that I got was what people picked up from the summit. And that's exactly what I wanted people to pick up. So I'm happy that was received the way I intended it to be received. And seeds have been planted. And I'm looking to expand that impact. And when I think about how to expand the impact, to me, it's not necessarily more recipes. Although people say they want recipes, I have tons of recipes in my coaching program. I have tons of meal plans in my coaching program. I have offered these things at very low prices, like $5, and even sometimes for free, and people haven't made the stuff. I've offered it in my coaching, which is, you know, is a premium price of $300 a month. And people take action. You know what I'm saying? It's not even so much that people take action with coaching, because I've had clients, or one in particular I'm thinking of, who paid for coaching and did not take action. But for the most part, people do take action, because when you pay money, you pay attention. But really, it's about the accountability, because every 2 weeks, they have to check in with me. How did things go? And it's not like I'm going to say, oh, you bad person, you didn't do what you said you were going to do. No. For me, coaching is really an opportunity to explore the deep psyche of yourself to find out why you're not doing what you say you need to be doing for yourself. It's a psychological thing, because you want to be raw. It's very simple. Eat raw, right? Why aren't people doing it? It's psychological. It's not, for the most part, physical, right? Because you can get the book, you can get the recipes, you can buy the stuff, you can make the stuff, right? But there's all the psychological things. And sometimes it's follow through. Sometimes it's like you've decided to do the thing, but you haven't organized your life around that goal. You haven't set up the healthy boundaries to be successful in that goal. And then execution, it gets to be difficult because you haven't done step two and step three, you know? Yeah. So in my coaching program, folks have to meet with me and we dive deep. We go into the whys behind the thing. You know, we have the tools and techniques to uncover it so you can overcome it. But also, we have the revisit form. So every time before you meet with me, you're doing some self-reflection yourself, filling out a questionnaire of what did I eat since the last time I met with you, you know, over the past 2 weeks? How did I feel? What positive experiences did I have in my body? You know, these types of things. Anything you learned from the journey in that time, right? Because this thing is really self-development, right? If you can stay consistent, my mom calls it discipline. And I always used to say, because she used to always say, oh, you're so disciplined. And I'm like, I'm not disciplined. It's just important to me. And things that are important to me, I do prioritize those things. And so I'm conscious if I haven't prioritized a thing, which I came to an understanding a few years ago, like probably like a couple years ago, that relationships was not something that I prioritized. I had been prioritizing my health, my business, my career, my finances, but relationships, joy, those weren't things, even spirituality, they weren't things that I was, you know, prioritizing. So when I go through this process with my clients, the circle of life, right? We look at different areas of our life, and the goal is to have a nice round circle as far out as possible. And mine was a little jagged and eaten out in certain areas, right? And the health part, I was good over here with health, eating, you know, good with my physical activity, you know, things in progress on the business front, career doing good, finances good, but the joy was lacking. My social networks, I felt like they were lacking, which is interesting because I had great friends that I met, but even though these are people I could call, I didn't. And even now, I don't, you know? So it's still a journey. It's a journey. We're not all strong in all the areas, you know? So we have to work on making it strong. And the thing is, you know, for a long time in my youth, that social front, that spiritual front, I mean, my spiritual, I felt like it was, you know, it was fine, you know, but the social part and the joy part, like it wasn't important enough to prioritize compared to the other stuff. So they got deprioritized, right? And I had good reason for that. It just wasn't important enough at the time. But now I'm in a different stage of my life where things are so stable that there's a lot of quiet moments. There's a lot of peaceful. There's not a lot of like, oh, I got to do this for work or business or finances or whatever, my health or whatever. Like all of this stuff is stable and it's consistent enough where it's part of my lifestyle. I don't have to think about it. So like when you get good at a lot of this stuff that seems right now it's taking up a lot of time, it takes up way less time when it gets stable and it gets operationalized in your life, you know? And so you have all this room for the other parts of your life. And that's when you sit and you're like, oh, wow. Like, where are close friendships? What about family relationships? You know, I've been sleeping on all of these things. I haven't connected with my family the way I should to feed my soul and my spirit, you know? And so at different times and stages of our life, we have to meet the demands of what our body is telling us we need. Some of it actually comes from the body. The reason why I found out that I needed more joy, needed more family connections, connection points, was because my body was responding in a way. I was doing interviews and crying a lot, talking about my grandma. My grandma has passed, you know, like many years ago, almost 20 years ago. And I had to go to therapy and look into like, why is this showing up? And so my body was physically telling me through the form of tears, depression, feeling lonely, right? Those types of feelings, and getting to the root of what is that? It's because I had deprioritized this area of my life. But now it's time to come back. And my body was saying, it's time now, right? And so we got to listen. We got to pay attention to these things, right? This is why I've learned in the process. Tears, emotions, they serve a role. They point us to where we need to pay attention to. Just like you have an ache or pain in the body, that sciatica pain, there's something you need to be doing, some movement you need to be doing, or maybe some jobs and projects that you probably need to stop doing because you're putting too much stress or you don't have proper form or whatever it is. But there's something you need to pay attention to. So yeah. So anyway, I hope this episode has been helpful for you as you're trying to organize yourself and get your mindset right this new year, 2024, to be your healthiest, most vibrant self. And until next time, take care.